Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back to another edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host with the most, the King of Kings himself, Mr. Cupid. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, Mr. Grumpy himself.
It is I, Sean Black, in the building once again. Good grief. What a week so far, huh?
Oh, indeed. And by the grace of God, she's blessing us with her presence again.
Hello, gentlemen.
How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yes. This is the one and only, the infamous Anitra B.
Damn, I got something stuck in my throat now.
Well, that's what, isn't that what you usually do?
You'll be fine.
Shut up, both of y'all. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, the number to call is 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402.
You mean to tell me that the number to call is 347-989-8402? That's the number to call for the show?
Hold on, let me check. Let me double check. Yes, it's 347-989-8402. That is definitely the number.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
Okay. Last Monday night, I think we pissed a lot of people off with some topics. Are you guys ready to do it again for the sake of it?
Man, sure, I'll pass on that. Oh, what the heck?
You're lying.
Okay. So I'd like to retract a little bit of last week's topic of the Howard Beach jogger. It seemed that the next day our social media page was blowing up with people different views on that topic, on whether the gentleman, I believe his name is Charles Lewis, Sean?
His name is Chanel Lewis.
Chanel Lewis, thank you.
Yeah.
Killed the lady or not, because everyone has their different views on it.
Allegedly. Well,
there's
no trial yet, so we can't say that he actually did do it.
But
we don't know.
Yes, we don't know. We might not know the full truth. We may never know the full truth. But
well,
is it
we'll
amazing?
Know something.
Uh-huh. I'm sorry, Sean?
No, I'm saying we will finally know something at some point.
Oh, yes. But, Sean, what has been the latest update about this case?
Well, so far, the latest update is, as we talked about last week, was that Chanel Lewis was the person that is apparently the main suspect that they have arrested. And apparently from doing DNA tests based on what was underneath the nails of Karina, the jogger, Vitrano is her last name. Based on the DNA from the scratches that were on the neck, I believe, and some of the other evidence, they linked him, Chanel Lewis, to the crime scene. Now, apparently, based on what we've seen and what we've read, is that he is somewhat either admitted to doing the actual crime, or that he is being linked, and then I guess when we get more information about what happened, then we'll figure out where the case will go from there. But basically, what's being stated is that Lewis was done on a hatred of women, and that was the motive of Chanel Lewis, who had no previous criminal record, as I stated last week. Other than some priors with some other instances, but didn't have a criminal record or anything like that. Apparently, what is being quoted by the police was that he apparently grabbed Miss Vitrano, who was jogging in the area near her home at Howard Beach, Went for a summer run in Queens. He basically, according to the police, allegedly raped and strangled her, sexually assaulted her, and then just disposed of the body and left the body in the weeds and near the property of the home. So that's pretty much all we know from that sense. The detectives basically had to go on the scratches and the DNA that was collected, so they didn't get a huge record of what happened and sort of the evidence that they would have probably have needed. But I think more so is where you're going, Hot Rod, as far as how we've pissed people off, and we got a lot of people talking through the website for the show and people talking to you in response to your social media outlets that you know of in your circles, is that a lot of people, one, either don't believe Chanel Lewis did the crime, or two, there's a huge controversy going on as how they came about finding the evidence and linking this guy to the murder.
Mm-hmm. Basically, like I said in last week's show, race should not be the factor of this case. I still do believe in that. I'm like, whatever you believe this person is innocent or not is your opinion. But I know from the feedback is mostly dominated most black people who either defend him or have more questions about it. And most white people, from the feedback I receive, he's guilty. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. The DNA says so. I'm like, okay. But once again, we don't know all the facts.
Yeah.
But it just reminds me of back of the OJ trial, the famous OJ trial, the trial of the century, where most black people say that he's innocent. Most white people say that he's guilty.
Well, of course. And we know that everything is divided in this country according to racial lines, social lines. That's usually what happens. Howard Beach has been, for those that don't know, as I stated last week, it's a very affluent area in Queens where it's pretty much segregated, although it's not that far off from East New York. What there are predominantly white, Italian people that live in the area. And there has been a whole host of racial strife that has happened in the Howard Beach section of Queens, going back as so far as to 1986. If you remember the Michael Griffith case, where for those that don't know who he is, back in 86, the man from Brooklyn traveling to Howard Beach trying to get his paycheck because he was working at a construction job. He was chased by a group of white teenagers and was basically beaten to death. And that became a huge story back in 86, 87 when the case was being tried and all the other things that happened. And there was so many racial lines crossed through that. And Howard Beach has really tried to clean up its reputation over those years. We haven't heard many instances in the Howard Beach section in that area, but I'm pretty sure there's still some tension there. I wouldn't be surprised.
Well,
so,
like I told Nietzsche B last week, I'd be damned if you see me going to Howard Beach still today by myself. I might drive through it or run through it, but for me to hang out over there, no.
Yeah.
Because even though it's dominated Italian, let's be honest, guys, part of it is due to mafia, too, down there. There's a lot of mafia down there. So you have people saying that the killing is linked to a mafia hit or some lingo like that, which I don't believe it, but it seems like mostly black people is coming up, I don't want to say excuses, but trying to defend the kid. I know, Nietzsche, last week you said that the DNA is there. He's guilty. Do you still stand by that?
No, I didn't say he was guilty. I just said that it's damaging evidence. And we don't know if he's guilty or not because there hasn't been a trial.
I mean, we all do admit.
We really don't know.
Yeah.
We all know, but all the cases that's brought up against him, he was in Howard Beach a couple of times because he received a summons for that. Like, why he's walking around. So that brings back to Sean's point. Why does a black man walk around in Howard Beach area in a park? You know, that seems suspicious.
And see, yep, here's the other thing, that this is the other part of the entire case. Not, and I'm not even about the case, but about how it was reported. And this is something that I think touches on the, what you're going at, Hot Rod, as far as race goes. When we hear about anybody along those lines of this 20-year-old kid in the quote-unquote wrong neighborhood and wrong time, when we hear about a sexual case or a case that involves murder or rape, something along those lines, and it is found that the alleged perpetrator is African American. If you notice the way that the media portrayed it on the cover of the Daily News and the Post and all of that, there were certain buzzwords that are used to describe certain crimes as euphemisms that we've seen, such as brute or such as demon. Because we saw on, I believe it was on the cover of the Daily News, it was called the demon. And I think on one other newspaper, he was called the brute. And those little words, when you talk about the African-American community, when it comes to somebody who, as Anitra stated, we don't know all of the facts. We don't know everything involved. But those kinds of things, when they have basically adjudicated the case in the media, on the newspapers, is almost like a slippery slope, because it evokes the same bad feelings of race relations in neighborhoods when they get their news. When you're looking at the media and you see their portrayal of certain victims, certain people, when they don't have all of the facts, it's not saying that that paper or that newspaper is saying that this person is a quote-unquote racial stereotype. But a lot of newspapers have to be careful in how they report the case, because then it evokes the fact that a lot of people are already thinking in that route, that this guy is a certain racial stereotype. Oh, he's a brute, or he's a demon, he's a beast, et cetera, et cetera. And that goes back to all of those feelings you heard from the 60s and the 50s about how the media and the country thinks of African Americans.
Well, what does Anitra say said on the show at the time? Controversy sells, right?
Of course.
Of course.
A prominent former wrestling promoter said, controversy creates cash. And that's exactly what a lot of things happen that do.
What does this do to the community overall? Make everybody angry. Blacks versus whites once again.
Exactly. And
the topic that would... I'm sorry,
yeah,
go ahead. No, there's something that we try to get away, but keep drawing us back. So we have two families being torn apart, one from a loss of a daughter and maybe a loss of a son soon, and we don't know the whole facts yet, but it's like, if he's really is innocent, he needs more than God on his side right now, because the world is basically against him. The odds is against him completely, because even though there may not be solid evidence that we know of, I don't trust the DNA testing, because let's be honest, DNA could be planted. They are crooked cops that do what they need to do. So I'm not buying the story completely. People act like on last week's show that I was defending the kid. I will not defend the kid. As I said, I'm not buying the story completely. There's more to the story than we know. That's
you just basically
all I
needed
know.
A little more information and a little more proof. To really go in on it.
If there was a video of him there, maybe. It's still not verify anything, but at least I'm like, okay, at least he was there. You know.
Hmm.
But what do we know as a public overall? What do we know really?
And we don't know much of anything.
No. And let's be honest, the only reason why most people felt sorry for him, because when you first saw the kid, like, wow, him? He's a killer? You felt bad for the kid to a certain degree, because he's mentally disturbed and mentally, he has a mental disability. So that's how some of the public people feel sorry for him. But whether he has mental disability or not, if he did it, he still killed someone. Now, can he use that as a defense?
There's no way to defend that. I mean, we have the case that we have here is an affluent family that had a young woman who was doing what she probably normally did every other day or every morning, was to get up and jog probably a couple of miles, get herself together for the rest of her day. You know, nothing out of the ordinary. And somebody who is being painted as somebody that hated women as the motive for the crime is now in custody. We have a woman who disappeared, was found on her property by the father, dead in the weeds, in the bushes on the property of the family. And then you go almost 6 months before we find anybody along the line. They had one suspect that I talked about last week that was, I believe, disturbed, and the DNA, after they arrested him, didn't match the DNA that was found on the victim. So Karina Vetrano, her murderer was still out there. And I believe this is where we're at now, some 6 months later. So now we got to find out if, one, the DNA, which the police are saying was a match, is correct. Number two, was the investigation done the way it was supposed to be done? And then where do we arrive from there? Do we get a trial? Do we get a plea bargain so that there is no trial and then somebody serves a certain amount of time and then they plea down? Who knows what's going to happen over the next, say, 2-3 months or 2 or 3 weeks? But something is going to come out of this. But there are so many things that can backfire on the way to getting a conviction that could actually hurt the community just based on how all of a sudden nobody knew about this Chanel Lewis until just last week.
Okay, so Anitra, here's a personal question, if you don't mind asking. When you go out jogging, do you get concerned about stories like this in your head?
No, because I don't go out in deserted areas. When I do go out running, it's not in the evening, and there's always people out, and I'm not by myself. I'm smart. I don't pretend that there's a magical bubble around me that will protect me. I go out during the day or in the morning, and the bike path that I run against isn't deserted.
And reason why I asked that, because quick story, I will never forget coming home drunk, of course, in a cab. And only Brooklyn nights will know this part. You know the end of Prospect Park where you made that turn by Gramley Plaza? You know that
yes.
Little entrance area?
Okay.
It was like maybe 2-ish in the morning now. Me and my friend saw a jogger, a white female, jogging into the park.
At what time?
Look, like 2 o'clock in the morning.
That's stupid. I would never do that.
And
that's what I'm talking
like,
about, the invisible bubble around you. No.
Yeah, and I've seen that myself. I've been in Central Park. I was with a friend of mine after dropping off a goddaughter, and we were just hanging out in Central Park talking and whatever. It was probably about 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, and we saw joggers in, like, the middle of Central Park West, just jogging like it's nothing. And it's like, I mean, I understand – You have the freedom to do whatever you want, but you also have to be somewhat much more alert and aware of your surroundings. And
you have to be smart about it. You have to remember, no, you like stuff like that irks me. Like people wonder why things happen. You don't go out gallivanting at midnight. You don't go out gallivanting at 2 in the morning. What do you think is going to happen? You think someone's going to hand you a lollipop? Like,
and
it's
you know
ridiculous.
What? And not to be an a-hole about it, let's say you go out there at 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, and something does happen to you, God willing, or God forbid me, but you ask for it, you know?
In a way, I have to agree with you.
You know, I'm not saying, you know, it should happen that way, but, you know, it's not me walking outside with flashing $200 out in the project area. And
that's
I get
not the
wrong.
Smartest thing.
Yeah.
It's not the smartest
thing. You know,
yeah. I think
you have to.
Yeah.
You have to think. People don't think.
Yeah.
Like, people think they're invincible. Like, for instance, I don't work in this. My job is located in the ghetto, okay? I've been there for a long time. I'm comfortable in the area. I know, like, I know certain stores, that the store guy, that, you know, the clerks know who I am. Do I go gallivanting? No. Have I forgotten where I am? No, because I don't want to get robbed. I like my life. I like the fact that I don't have a freaking stab mark or a shot, you know. No.
That's true. Well,
you have to remember, people get too comfortable. I think that's the big problem, is they don't think, oh, that won't happen to me.
Please.
And you guys never know.
Well, you guys know where I live at, and, you know, I stay alert at all times, day or night. I don't trust anybody.
That's what I'm saying. Like, people get too comfortable and they forget. Like, they really do. Like, I have coworkers that will go take a walk in the area, and I look at them like, what?
Yeah. It was like, oh, it's 2 a.m. You know what? I'm going to go and just walk outside for about an hour. I'll see you at 3. And they're in the most crime-ridden area. And it's like the whole idea is, although you may feel, quote, unquote, it's not going to happen to me, you also have to be aware and smart enough to reduce the potential of something happening just by one being, even if you're going to go out at 2, 3 in the morning, you go with friends if they're all awake and they're all sober. 3, 4, 5 people, you go in a group and you're just walking around, just talking, you know,
that's
maybe
different.
Jogging in a well-lit area. These are just normal things that go out there that you have to think about, you know.
Sean Black. What is sober? I never heard of that word before.
I know that.
It sounds wrong. I don't like the word.
Yeah.
And I guess by the tone of the conversation, you can tell who drinks and who doesn't.
Oh, well. Okay, let's go on to the next topic, because Sean Black has trying to talk about this topic for, what, 6 months now?
Oh, it's been about that long, yeah.
Well, we're going to talk about it for at least 20 minutes, so make this quickly. Why you want to talk about this story, Sean?
Okay. This is a story that I brought to the Hot Rod back in, I would probably say, the end of the summer, the beginning, I would say, of September-ish. And it was about the story of a then 14-year-old girl in Ohio. And her name is Brisha Meadows. The reason why I wanted to bring this up is because it's an interesting, compelling, and yet very disturbing story about how a then 14-year-old girl is in jail for allegedly killing her abusive father. And it got a lot of attention in the news because her father, as I stated before, was very abusive to her, her siblings, and the wife, the mother of the child. This had gone on.
Do they have this documented?
Excuse me?
Do they have the abuse documented?
A lot of the abuse is documented, but what happened was the end result being that the 14-year-old grabbed a gun and shot the father in the head. While he was sleeping on the couch. And apparently he had been abusing family members, including the wife who he had been married to for quite some time, for a great deal of time. And apparently the daughter, as I said, her name is Brisha Meadows, she said she did it to end the abuse. Now she's in jail. And there's a good possibility she could be in there the rest of her life. But a lot of things have happened over the last couple of months where now her lawyer back in December had announced that her case would remain in juvenile court, which is where she's at right now, because now if she's convicted of murder, instead of staying in jail for life, she would only be behind bars until the age of 21. Now, that's kind of a pickle of a case, because now we're talking about somebody who has murdered. But now the question is, does that her actions, are they justified based on what has gone on over the years and years and years? And I'll throw it to you, Anitra. You're a parent. What is your opinion about this, and what do you think should be the right thing to do, knowing that this is in Ohio, and we know that laws are completely different in different states and different cities and different counties?
I think she was wrong. You don't take – okay, here's the thing. I'm not going to pretend to walk in her shoes because you just can't. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But she was wrong. I mean, you don't take the law into your own hands. It would have been different if it was plain self-defense. I know he's a bastard. He did what he did. I get it. I'm not condoning what he's doing. But she shot him in cold blood. He wasn't attacking her at that moment. She took it upon herself to grab what she shot him.
Yeah.
She took a gun and she went over to his bed or to the couch wherever he was sleeping. And she shot him. That's calculated. You don't do that. So she should have been locked up. She should have gone away. Being tried as an adult, no. She's only 14. You know, there's so much that she still needs to learn. She probably didn't even completely understand the consequences of what she was doing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
To the full extent, but. I do think that she should have been punished. You know, you just don't do that. There are ways to go about things. You can't take the law into your own hands. I'm a firm believer in that.
Yeah, and I'm of the mindset of thinking that at some point she probably had in her mind she was so scared and distraught with all of the stuff that had gone on that she needed to end this because, as I said before, there are other siblings. She has two other siblings, a sister and a brother, and they've seen the violence over the years that has happened as far as all of that in the family. And one of the things that you want to do is make sure that the circle of violence doesn't continue.
So I agree with her then.
I mean, I'm hoping that being tried as a child, so she goes into, what is it, a children's detention center, I think it's called, or something to that effect.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that they, you know, she works with a psychologist and, you know, she gets the opportunity to finish her education, because I know facilities like that do provide, they do that, and get the help that she needs to understand that that's not normal.
She did the right thing then. I say she did the right thing. You got, because, of course, look, once again, how she handled it was wrong way. But like Alicia said, we're not in that shoes. We've seen it. We heard about it. I'm speaking for myself personally. I have not been to a physical abuse by my parents. I've been through abuse by my coworkers and my job and my niece, but that's a different story. But on a serious note, we don't know what was in the mindset of that child.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, killing your own father is wrong, completely. But let's be honest. If she went through the system, called the cops, nothing happened, you know, try to run away. Emotions take over your mindset completely. We all done things dramatic or crazy or stupid one time in our lives. I don't care what anybody say.
Of course.
For her to go through that length, that means her and her family have been through a lot. So you know what? It's either me or you. For her to take that gun and shoot it, that means she's been going through hell. And when you go through hell, you do your best to get out of hell. So I could see why she did it to a certain degree.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not saying that she is the right thing to do, but sometimes the wrong thing is the right thing to do. And, of course, I got K-Dog, who wanted to put his two cents in. Knowing him, you probably know the girl who did it.
Oh, Lord.
Oh my goodness.
K-Dog.
What's up, everybody? How y'all doing?
Hi.
Okay, how you doing?
Hey. Well, I called in because, yes, I am going to put my two cents in it, because from what I heard about the whole incident was that the mother called her a hero. And I'm going to tell you why. The mother said that she was fearing for her life. Because you know what else happened in that whole case? She did file an order of protection against him like 5 years ago.
Why did she go to a women's shelter?
Yeah, but you know what? Here's the thing, though. She later dismissed it. She said that she was. Yeah, because you know what happens is that when a woman is being abused, especially when it's a real physical abuse, yes, women get scared. And you know, when they file that, like, restraining order or something, all the time, those restraining orders don't work.
It's nothing more than a piece of paper in most instances.
Exactly.
That's the way it's treated.
And you know, the abuser's always going to be there. And the thing is, we don't know what this man was doing to this woman that made her scared. And you don't know what fear the daughter felt that, you know, I got to do something because if I don't do something, then there's going to be more harm done to us. Because the family even said it. The family even said that he was, you know, he even threatened them. He threatened them with that very same gun that she shot him with.
Mm-hmm.
He threatened them with it.
23 years of abuse. The abuse had actually gone on from around the time when Brisha's mother, Brandy, got married to the father, whose name is Jonathan. And that circle of abuse continued through there. Now, there was a time when they separated in 2011. She left her husband and took the three kids to the mother's house in another part of Ohio. The problem is she filed a police report and a domestic violence protection order, and she wrote, this is what she wrote in her own words, in the 17 years of our marriage, he has cut me, broke my ribs, broke my fingers, blood vessels in my hand, my mouth, blackened my eyes. I believe my nose was broken. If he finds us, I'm 100% sure he will kill me and the children. And this is what he wrote. This is what she wrote in the protection order as far as what she went through. And the fact remains that at some point she went back.
Yeah.
Probably either out of fear or maybe thinking that at some point maybe something will change. So
right.
Okay. Well, Anitra.
Well, mind if I add something else to it too, because sorry guys for interrupting. But the girl's aunt, who's also a Cleveland police officer, and she said that the young girl, first up, had no history of violence. But she also stated that, let me read, from day one, she was born into a nightmare. She even said that her brother-in-law was very controlling and wouldn't even let her visit. And there was one time Brisha even ran away from home and came to her house. She was even begging the aunt for help.
And this is one of those cases that's really, really scary when you listen to what happened. And then you realize every year at least 50 people that have gone through these kinds of things, especially when you hear about cases of domestic violence, et cetera, 50 children under the age of 18 will kill their parents in the United States.
Yeah.
50 children. And usually they're all victims of child abuse, neglect, depression, those kinds of things. That's usually when these kinds of cases happen.
You
know,
well,
because
hold on. To Anitra, you know the three of us for years, and you know our producer Mikey for years. If any of let's be honest, if any of us came up to your daughter, dated your daughter, and you find out we touched your daughter, hit her, abused her.
You.
Okay. Thank you for proving my point. Carry on, Sean.
But see the difference. Those are words.
Yes.
No, you guys know how much I love my kids. And you know, even though they drive me crazy. But if anybody touched my daughter, and like my father will tell me, if anyone touched my kids, I go to jail. It's plain and simple.
Oh, of course. My mother said the
same thing with me and my niece.
Fellas, in these cases, you wouldn't even know. They wouldn't even tell you. unfortunately.
It's fear.
Unless you've actually, it's beyond fear. It goes beyond that. It's like a form of mind control. Where
it is.
It is.
You just,
and I'm
you
glad
just
you
live
that out.
Normally. You live like a normal life on the outside.
But we do find out years later, whatever. What would be your reaction?
Well, you know, there's also physical evidence of abuse because, you know, when a woman is being beaten, there's bruises because, believe it or not, it doesn't matter what size the man is. When a man clenches his fist and punches a woman, you best believe there's going to be a mark left. It's either
swollen
eye. That's
where the bruises are, dear.
Yeah.
A lot of times abuse victims, all the bruises are hidden under clothes.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Or makeup.
Or they're wearing sunglasses and, you know, trying to cover it up.
A lot of times it's not even on their face. It's on their bodies where it's
completely covered with clothing.
And a lot of the women that have been abused will make as many excuses as they can to cover
it's
up the damage
fear.
That they've gone through and try to justify the fact. There is almost going into the mindset of trying to justify why they got the beating they got. Well, I should have cooked the dinner faster. Or maybe I shouldn't have worn that dress that high.
Or I made him mad.
I said the wrong thing. I should have given him enough time to cool off from his long day at work. And these are the systematic things that happen in abusive relationships. And when the sad part about it is when you have children involved and they see the circle, you always have something that could potentially be wrong. And I give you an example. We all know about the Jerry Sandusky case that happened at Penn State.
Right.
Jerry Sandusky's son was just arrested earlier today for pretty much the same suspected behavior of child sexual abuse. And
I wouldn't be surprised if he was abused himself.
I would not be surprised.
No, it's that
circle involved of the child sees some sort of criminal activity in their lifetime, and they're abused and they see it. There's always the possibility that the crimes that the parents have done will end up leeching off to the children. And you hope
it
that
will.
That's not the case in this situation.
Because you
not
see,
always.
when a child sees his or her mother getting smacked around by their father, and, you know, they grew up with a mindset that's like, you can't even explain the feeling that a child has saying, wow, why is daddy beating mommy all around? She chokeslammed mommy against the wall and threw her or, you know, beating her up and meanwhile turns his anger towards the child. That child will forever, and I mean forever, be psychologically messed up.
That's not always
in a
true.
Way.
There are plenty of abused children that grow up perfectly healthy.
Yeah,
they just
I know that.
Get the help needed.
But I'm not saying all. No, what I'm saying is that some children will see that. And you know what it does to a child's mindset. Like, especially if a boy sees his father beating his mother up, some of these boys will grow up thinking, it's okay, I could beat the crap out of a woman because I see my daddy do it. You understand? It's not like I'm saying, oh, everybody, but some kids grow up like that.
A nature?
That's a whole
What do you think? What K-Dog said? Do you agree?
It's different for every situation. I mean, it really sucks coming home and seeing blood. It really sucks knowing that someone slapped the shit out of you just because you're breathing.
Yeah.
It's an awful situation.
Like you said, it's a whole control thing because an abuser, he'll control your mind. Like, oh, look at what you – they'll blame you for the abuse. Like, oh, look what you made me do. See what you made me do? You made me mad. You know, like – But baby, I promise it won't happen again. you know, you don't understand. I'm feeling pressure. I'm feeling some kind of way. And, you know, I just don't know how to deal with it. Oh, I'm sorry and stuff. You know, the same lame excuses that comes after each beating.
So Sean,
mm-hmm.
Does that man place his hand on a woman that one time and ask for forgiveness? Do you believe in second chances?
Oh, I believe in second chances, but you also have to be skeptical of it from the sense that it happens way too often. We are in a society that has always been male-dominated, and the male ideals that fall behind every decision that is made always slants towards the male getting the benefit of the doubt. That has shifted over the last, I'd say, two or three decades, where now we're starting to see that women are becoming more educated. They're trying to take more of the emotion out of a lot of the decisions that they make toward themselves just to make sure that this doesn't repeat itself. If I've heard many women that have had the discussion, like, well, if a man puts his hands on you, are you going to take him back? And like, he's like, oh, hell no. The second he raises his hand is the second he pulls back a nub. And that's what a lot of women over the last few years, that mentality is. And a lot of women are raising their kids that way. It's like, look, you're not somebody's punching bag. It is okay to run away or to get away from the situation in as safe an environment as you possibly can. And that's what the issue is.
Okay, well, we got about 15 minutes left, so it's time for our other topic. And on our Valentine's Day, that, you know, the special day tomorrow for all you lovebirds out there, except for Sean and I, we're still fighting and mad at each other right now.
Mine's
so,
included. Me included.
You know, so we're not getting no chocolate from one another. Hello. But,
Let's speak for yourself.
Speak for yourself, man. I'm getting the chocolate milkshake, man. I'm going to drink some.
Okay, K-Dog.
You know,
K-Dog,
the more you say, the worse it sounds.
Yes. Quiet, K-Dog. Just keep your mouth shut for the time being.
Oh, man.
Wow. Yes.
I
keep the chocolate milk balls in your mouth and just
No, I'm throwing milkshake.
I'm going to get the iced tea, and I'm going to sit down like Kermit the Frog.
And mind your business. Oh, gosh. Well, this question was posed to me via Twitter from Selena. But before I go to that, of course, I have to tell Anitra and Hot Rod story. So Anitra and I was at the bar drinking. Very shocking.
How does this always end up revolving around you and getting
alcohol
imbibed at some point?
That's what I'm saying.
Is a
very drunken
is Anitra and I hobby. This
I
is our
understand.
Hobby. We love to drink.
I understand.
We was at our usual spot. You know, everybody else was dancing. Anitra and I was sitting down, chilling, watching TV, doing whatever. And girls always look at us because, you know, once again, I'm black, she's white. People try to say we're a couple or not. You know, the usual story. Then one girl was dancing like crazy, and she went up to me like, why are you not grinding on your girl? And I told her maybe my wife would not like that. And she looked at us and dropped her mouth and walked away.
Yeah, look on her face, this was priceless.
Like,
oh my goodness.
Like, you know, my wife would not like me dancing or grinding on a woman like that. So the question that Selena posed to me is, oh, so I have to read it. A woman in a relationship running on another man in a nightclub is A, just having fun, B, cheating, or C, disrespectful. Anitra?
She's just dancing and she's out with her girlfriends and, you know, everyone cans where they're supposed to be. She's just having fun. I mean, I don't really see why it would be considered disrespectful. I mean, if they're taking it, if they're crossing that line, they're taking it, you know, she's grabbing his hand and saying, let's go to the bathroom. Well, then, you know, there you go. But if they're just dancing, you know, and just having fun, why not?
Well, not just dancing. You're grinding. You're basically grinding on somebody's penis right
all
now.
All dance, unfortunately, all dance. I don't. All dancing is grinding. I don't see anything. I mean,
that's really
wasting all that. I mean,
if you're going to the club, all that dancing is nothing more than basically dry humping. That's pretty
yeah,
much
pretty
all
much.
It's become now.
Basically,
I mean, to me, it's harmless unless you're taking it to that level.
You know, I could use myself as an example. Years ago, and I'm sure Nitro will remember this, a friend of ours was celebrating a birthday, and we went out clubbing, and, you know, pictures came up on Facebook of me dancing with a friend of mine, and I got called out for cheating.
Oh, I remember that. That was funny.
Which made no—I laugh about it, which made no sense. I'm like, wow, you know.
Why did that person say you was cheating?
Oh, well, she was already insecure already, but she was like, oh, you messing around with that woman. I'm like, are you serious? It was harmless dancing. It was, and mind you, it wasn't even like a grind or anything. It was just harmless, perfectly harmless.
I guess harmless
yeah, like
is in the
was,
eyes of the
beholder.
There
was space between the two of them. Like, it wasn't anything, like, it wasn't like her ass was in his crotch or nothing like
no.
that. Like, they were literally just standing there dancing. There was no grind, nothing to that level.
Professor K-Dog wasn't daggering somebody on a chandelier somewhere.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
Well, Sean, what do you think? Disrespectful, cheating, or just having fun?
It depends on the situation involved. If the person is in a relationship and they know both, let's say both of them are going to the club. Oh, we're going to hang out. We're going to the club. We're going to dance. And if you guys agree that the only people you're dancing with is each other, then it could probably be looked at as disrespectful if you talked about it and you go against it. If you're just going out there to have fun and it's just you and, let's say, your girlfriend, and then all of a sudden you say, well, hang out. I mean, there's 300 people in the club. Have fun. You dancing with this person, I'm dancing with this person. We have a competition at how many people we can get upset, and then we leave and have a chuckle about it. Then you're having fun.
Yeah.
It's only disrespectful if you walked up to somebody that you don't know, you don't know the dynamic of the situation, if they're there, and you say, well, let me dance with you, and then they say, well, no, I'm okay. And then you just go ahead and grab them by the backside and then try and dagger them right there.
Exactly. That's
something along those lines where you cross that line and you're completely disrespectful. You're calling them names. You're saying such and such. Then it's disrespectful. But in general, I don't think it's – I think it's having fun. But like I said, it has to depend on the situation.
Well, let's be honest. What's the point of going to the club? To have our fun by dancing with grinding and dry humping, whether it's with someone new or someone that you know. If you're married or you're in a relationship, if you know your girlfriend or your wife is going out, she's out to have fun. She ain't going to be dancing with girls all night long. And let's be honest, guys don't dance with guys unless you're in a gay club like that. And Sean, K-Dog, and I will not go to the club and just look at each other like that.
No.
You have to go dance with other females. I'm in a relationship,
right.
Too. But I know myself. I will give a girl space, you know, while dancing. If you get a little bit close, you get a little bit close. It happens. But not to the extreme, like, hey, let's go to the bathroom. No.
Yeah. I have respect for myself. I'm in a relationship. I'm going to have respect. I'm going to have, you know, hey, I got to remember I'm in a relationship. I'm gonna dance with another female, no doubt. But space, not gonna be grinding and doing whatever.
And a lot of times you'll see if you go into a club and it's usually a friend. Let's say it's a guy and he's taking his girlfriend. There's usually about 15, 20 friends. And they all know each other, male and female. And then you'll see them switch off, dancing with each other, grinding and everything. And it's all harmless fun. Nobody is taking it seriously. And they're all having a good time.
Okay. So, Anitra,
at the end of the day, it's just about the intentions behind it.
Yeah.
Well, do you think grinding is like a form of a fantasy? Like, you know what? Like, going to a strip club. You go, man goes for a strip club for having fun, that fantasy, all that stuff, and a woman grinding on you, knowing that you're marrying him and everything, but you came in for that. There's nothing wrong with that, right? It's about, it's basically the same thing, but you're paying for it, literally, for a lap dance.
I'll give you a perfect example. How many times have we all in the New York area gone to the West Indian Day Parade? And
yeah,
you may be in a relationship with somebody, and you're genuinely, if you're in the crowd, you're dancing with the person you came with, and you've probably got five or six other people dancing around you. Now, since you know the situation, nobody is taking anything for granted. Nobody's doing. Everybody's having a good time. So there's no issue involved. It's like, look, this is one time where everybody's like 2 million people are dancing on each other. So
exactly,
as long as nobody, you know, slips a hand in the wrong place, everybody is relaxed, have a good time, and that's it.
Exactly.
And that's there's nothing wrong with that, unless you have established beforehand with the person you're with that we're only going to do this with this, this, and this, or just you and I, and that's it.
It is what it is.
If you have boundaries, as long as you don't cross those boundaries, it's harmless fun, and that's where it should be. If you have a boundary that's set and you cross that boundary, that's when you're going to go into the disrespectful part. And then if you're trying to just, you know, get numbers and try and go into the bathroom, then it's cheating.
Exactly.
Well, at what age do you think, Anitra, people should be stop going to the clubs?
Oh, there's no age. And I have members of my family that are in their 60s and still shake their ass. That is irrelevant. If you got it, shake it. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. I'm going to shake my ass until I'm in the fucking grave.
But
and then you shake it while you're in the grave, too.
Well, Anitra, you don't have any
party,
ass,
party,
though.
That's all right. I got a fabulous pair of tits. I'll shake them, too.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Watch out now.
Well, for the record, ladies and gentlemen, I do not go clubbing. I do not go out. I stay home for the most part and behave. Just for the record.
Me, I hit the bars.
I'm waiting for the lightning strike. That's what I'm waiting
exactly
for right now.
Now I'm
oh, well,
clubbing, but.
All right, K-Dog, what is your final thought of tonight?
Well, the final thought for tonight is this. Boom. The first topic about the 20-year-old, listen, there's got to be more evidence because, personally, I'm not buying it. And second, about the young lady who shot her father, all I could say is that whenever there's a situation, especially when it comes to abuse, it usually leads to something that's more extreme. And it's sad that it has to come to that. And
well, K-Dog,
K-Dog,
why are you saying you're not buying it? What do you think is missing?
About the 20-year-old? Well, I don't know. It's just me that, you know, I'm studying this kid's face. And
why?
Because
the kid is black? Because the kid is black,
no,
you're not buying it?
Not just because the kid is black, but take a good look at him. I'm like, why would
so,
you know?
So he's meant to be disturbed.
Yeah.
Because he has a mental disability. You don't think he's not capable of murdering the lady? Is that what you're trying to say?
That I'm just saying that could be that's the case because I'm looking at him. I'm like, something's
you
not
do
right
realize
about.
That most of the crime in your city is by the homeless mentally disturbed.
Yeah, but...
Just saying.
Just that
saying,
look
just
shouldn't preclude anyone from thinking otherwise.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just saying, just because
well,
there's something... I mean, I'm not saying he did it. I don't know if he did it. I personally hope he didn't because, you know, I would think he would be a better person, but we don't know.
That's I'm with you on that because I really don't know. I really can't say that. You know, I have to hear more evidence. And like I said, for the young lady, she witnessed something terrible that was going on in her home. You know, just to save her mother's life and to save her life, she had to go to the extreme to kill her father. And as for the bumping and grinding, listen, it happened. People have fun. But as long as it's not taking it to another level, just enjoy yourself. Life is a bitch. Then you die, you know?
Damn. Why am I thinking about death already? Sheesh.
No, but I'm just saying it. And as for Valentine's Day, bah humbug.
Okay. The reason why you say bah humbug, because you're not in a relationship right now? Quote, unquote?
I'm just saying.
You're just saying. Okay.
And bah
okay.
humbug is for Christmas. It's
yeah.
not for Valentine's Day.
Yeah, you're
so
10 months
early.
Valentine's Day, listen. It doesn't take one day to show affection. You show affection for the person every day. That's it.
But this is a special
day. We sound bitter right now for some reason.
Oh, I'm
I
saying.
Ain't gonna comment.
I need your final thought.
I feel bad all around. I mean, an innocent girl was killed. I hope they find the guy who did it, whether or not it's this guy or, you know, someone else. And for the abused girl, I just hope that she gets the help she needs so she can become a successful, productive adult.
Okay. And the man that abused me the most, Sean Black, what is your final thought?
My final thought is I hope that we can finally start to get to a point that we can actually look at the media and the press and actually trust what the hell they're saying. Because of all of the things that have happened and all of the news stories over the last couple of weeks, when we hear anything new, when we hear something that comes from the press, we have to get to a point where we can actually believe their sources. And I hope that we haven't gotten to that point where we're so ambivalent toward the media that nobody wants to be able to believe a single word that comes out of the press because of that. That's what I think you have to do. Just trust the sources of where these people are getting their news. Check them yourself if you need to, and follow up. And I think that's what is going to have to be the case now in this era of quote-unquote fake news and fake articles. That's something that has to be
said. Alternative facts.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, ladies and gentlemen, God willing, tomorrow night, tune into Blog Talk Radio at either 10:30 or 11 o'clock with Sean Black, K-Dog, and I will try to do a 30-minute sports show regarding the New York Knicks and the drama.
Well, we got plenty to talk about.
And the chaos that's happening. So tune in tomorrow night at Blog Talk Radio Live at either 10:30 or 11 o'clock. It depends what time my daughter goes to sleep, of course.
Of course.
Of course, you know.
Of course.
But something about Charles Oakley, Jim Dolan, Carmelo Anthony, and the rest of the Knicks, we have a lot to say about that.
I got a lot of ammunition for the Knicks.
Oh, I have.
I got tons of ammunition. And we're talking about somebody
ready.
That's been a Knicks fan since 1984. I got a lot to talk about.
Hey,
and
man, I'm not a Knicks fan, but I sympathize with you.
Yeah, and Mr. B will be on her dates tomorrow night, so she will not be part of the show. Thank you very much. Well, no comeback to Mr. B?
I
think she's sharpening her
later.
Knife right now.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host with the most, the King of King himself, the High Rod, with the one, the only,
Sean Black and
Anitra B.
And
the one and only Professor K-Dog.
Okay, of course, happy, safe, and blessed Valentine's Day tomorrow, guys.
Boo.
Try not to make any babies tomorrow night, you know, because
Somebody sounds burned by Valentine's Day.
I don't know why. K-Dog, you know what? Not next week, but a couple weeks after, we're going to do a hotline for you, and we're going to try to hook you up with a viewer. Maybe somebody from Montana or Alaska or even Brooklyn.
Poland. Think about that. We actually got listeners from Poland.
Wow, shout out to Poland.
Poland.
Man.
We are completely international.
Woo-hoo.
International.
So, K-Dog, keep hope.
Yeah, what's
don't
up?
Worry, we got your back. If we cannot get you a woman, we get you a guy. Okay? So you could go both
what's
ways
up?
Now. Good night, everyone. And as always, the pleasure was all yours.
That's right.
Good night, gentlemen.
Good night,
everyone. Sean, do you swallow or spit tomorrow night?
Oh, well, you're the one that likes to eat bananas, so.
Roll the dice.
I like your bananas anytime.
Oh, Lord.
Roll the dice.
Bye.
Later.
Later.